This is the Talent, Sales, and Scale Show.
Outbound doesn't make sense if you're not seeing a $7,000 plus, and probably a lot more plus, probably $8,000-$9,000 at this point, especially with inflation. We might be at 10 grand by the time this thing comes out. So unless if you're seeing about a 10 grand profit per average sale, or probably 25,000 profit per lifetime value, you know, over 3 years, outbound with that sales development over to an AE likely doesn't make sense. So I'm kind of curious as to, are there delineations like that in this digital marketing space?
Certainly. And there are certainly a lot of areas where, as you said, even the basic math right now doesn't make sense for an investment in inbound traffic from this particular source. You know, just like from a digital ad standpoint, on the whole, you could say, well, LinkedIn is going to be more costly than Instagram, and paid search is going to convert, you know, to a website conversion better than display banner ads. Those generalities also hold when looking at, you know, inbound lead acquisition and SQL acquisition. There are certain channels for which we just know we would have to have an exceptional acquisition cost or a exceptional conversion rate of ad click, site visit to demo sign up or something. And those just aren't necessarily always going to be attainable. That we'll sit down, you know, typically and kind of work through that math with a client and understand what the bar of expectation should be or what the success metrics need to be. That is where oftentimes really powerful lead scoring can come into play. Helping the biz dev and the AEs work more efficiently and kind of trimming the fat out of what is landing on their plate. So if someone does sign up with interest in a demo or a trial, and we can try and enrich that lead and qualify it based on their company size or their job title or things like that. And if they don't match a certain threshold, don't waste the AE's time. Maybe send them to a pre-developed resource of some demo videos in like a smaller trial period or something, and only send the best qualified to the AEs. They can work those more efficiently and probably turn a few more of them than they normally could with just a full plate of everything. So trying to find those areas of efficiency to automate our way through a little bit certainly helps. But as you said, if it's a very low price point to entry and requires a long time to develop that relationship and turn them into really good recurring revenue, that's when we know that we probably need to eliminate some of the higher priced one-to-one outreach efforts or some of those high priced ABM automation software and things like that, and go a little more manual, a little more old school with our paid search and some of our audience building and things of that nature.
Now, I'm kind of curious. So I have a whole bunch of questions to come off of what you just said there, but I'm curious, for that top of the funnel lead generation, how much of, if we look at that total pie, Brian, and I know the answer is going to be depends. So if you can give us some caveats on where it would depend, but how much of that total pie would you anticipate coming from that SEO versus ad versus content creation? Can you give us a sense of what that breakdown should look like and if that changes up per different product offerings?
Sure. And it can definitely change. And so much of it would depend on the state of the competitive market and all of that. If I'm a new CRM platform and I'm entering against the HubSpots and Pipe Drives and Salesforces of the world, good luck getting immediate play on, you know, organic, which is some thought leadership out there ranking and stuff like that. I might have to go all in on paid just to start building some really targeted awareness and stand out. But I mean, on the whole, a good 50-50 mix or maybe 60-40 organic versus paid is what we generally tend to see. But again, that's with a lot of other kind of average factors in play. The organic piece is it's free traffic, essentially. Like, it's right there for the taking. You don't have to pay Google more money to try and attain it. What you have to do is be smart about your content creation and about, is your website set up the right way to be crawled properly. So many folks we encounter have amazing content and thought leadership and great white papers and blog cadence and all of that, but they're screaming into the void because the schema markup language on their site isn't telling Google, here's what we're answering. So they never get surfaced up in those little, you know, Q&As that Google, all these zero click, they call it, search results there. So when we encounter something like that, then it becomes, look, don't throw good money after bad to go and pay for traffic. Change up your website and put these best practices into place. And you could start realizing all of this existing organic traffic that's already there before you even need to evaluate putting a penny into things. But ultimately, if they're a scaling, you know, business and they're serious about really trying to deploy themselves across the whole marketing funnel, we do want an even split, or at least slightly higher toward organic, and have that really strong paid play there to supplement. Because in general, these days, back to your original question, there's always going to be so much noise in a finite space of inventory. So you always want that organic versus paid mix, because there are going to be places where paid simply cannot make headway without blowing your budget, or vice versa, organic simply can't rank you efficiently at this time. Let's pay to get up in there, you know, for some short wins.
Okay. So then we get that, and we figure out the mix of paid versus organic, and then we start to get some opportunities coming into pipeline and get some closed won. Now, I'm curious, because I've seen people calculating this, Brian, in a gazillion different ways, right? What's your formula for customer acquisition cost?
So as best as we can, we want the full look into all the touch points going into it. You know, it really starts with, now if you're talking customer acquisition costs, obviously the touch points with money behind them in some fashion factor in, because you want to know in totality, what did I pay to achieve that? Our ideal scenario will be, when we work with clients, to build kind of that full, what they call multi-touch attribution, another cliche, which I feel like I'm playing buzzword bingo with you here today. But essentially what it comes down to is, if I'm capturing a lead on my website in some fashion, and eventually that person could become a customer, we're first going to look and say, after the lead, are you recording in your CRM or your systems everything that eventually leads to them being revenue? Because we're going to need to know what you achieved out of it. We want a cost per all milestones. But then the big key is capturing the right parameters when they enter your system that allow us to match back to all the touch points that happened and start to incrementally give value to those that occurred. There are a number of ways to do this. There are some platforms that do it. As with all MarTech, some of it's going to be manual setup anyway. For us, commonly, and this might get a little in the weeds, but if anyone out there is just genuinely curious, Google Analytics has a client ID. You can capture that. And with that, it's anonymized, but it's device and user specific. So you can't see their name or anything. But if you capture that as a hidden field in your lead form, you can then build reports, and Google Analytics will show you that ID, how many times and from where did they come to your website, and what did they do in their entire history from the time they were first found. And so we'll start building these reports that say, you know what, they engaged with this awareness building display 3 times, and then they did these paid searches. They came back organically once, and through all those incremental touch points, we'll start to get a sense of exactly the true impact on the lead. And then because of what's recorded after it, the milestones that occurred, that's how we start to look at what was invested in each of those channels, and then what percentage of a role did they play in the resulting revenue. And then also in the disqualifieds and all that, because we want to know, where was the investment inefficient, and where did it cost us opportunity that we could have reinvested more in the successful touch points?
Yeah, and it's kind of curious, right, Brian? Because this is where my mind is, because I see a lot of people that are, you know, oh, it's product-led growth, let's do that. You're like, no sales, right? And then other people are, no, it's outbound. And it seems like we're calculating the customer acquisition cost completely different. Some are putting in labor, some are putting in all of the technology. Some people are only touching SEO, you know, the cost of ad spend. Mm-hmm. And it seems like everybody's doing it a little bit differently. So until we get a universal acceptance of how we calculate customer acquisition costs, like from that first touch all the way through, there's a closed one and they paid us kind of thing, I think it's going to be really challenging to determine the right strategy which my sense is probably yes is the right strategy, a little bit inbound, a little bit outbound, a little bit all of this stuff.